Hey all, Alex here. This is basically three quarters of two podcasts that we put together. We did one before SteamCon, then some stuff happened, so I didn't manage to get it out. And then we've done one since SteamCon, and some stuff's happened, so I haven't managed to get it out. So we've buttered the two slices of bread, and we've slapped together a delicious SteamCon sandwich. Enjoy.
Hopefully.
Welcome back. We dust off the equipment as we enter the studio. Our torches flickering in the dark as they scan over the studio.
Yeah, we need to put the neon sign and keep our height back on. Just like, but they're not cut that lever and coming down and The weird.
That's sort of like Frankenstein's lab, like.
Yeah. Yeah, like kicking for height, but only a little bit of electric coming through, which is kind of flickering down, hanging off the wall.
Just see on hype.
we should probably explain that. We've had a couple of like half of it been real life shit, half of it been I'm gonna do that thing where 50% been there, 150%. Yeah. I don't like 245%. But yeah, half of it's been real life, half of it's been lie on my part, straight up fucking way. Never underestimate how fucking. And thirdly, it's just been we've had a bit of a bigger, I don't know how to put it, when it's a GB, a bit of a collector shrug.
Which is so weird because we were so hyped.
I've not been super pushing you for a game. And I only attend our game club every couple of other shit being played. I feel like if I show up with Guild Ball, then that's what I'm playing for. And then I've got to wait another 2 weeks. And especially when I play you in my own time, feels like I'm not gonna play the game.
Yeah.
I'll play with Valiant when I can. I know you haven't been super in the mood. No, the fact you have been in the kind of in not like but not put me in not mood but also like I don't want
to
push it.
Well, it's kind of we're almost like an echo chamber for ourselves when it comes to it. So like normally we're like on this sort of perpetual hype machine, but then as soon as we've hit a speed bump we seem to have both just crashed because we're not like constantly yammering about it.
Well, I'm thinking we just played a game just now, but we are playing, but I went on the GB keep. I went for every team and I basically made like a dream team on the app at every guild, except the minor. A lot of the minor guild, like, well, who am I going to pick? Plus another team. I don't think I can think about that at the time. But when I was done playing around and looking at the card, I came back to the myth. I'd made this making team, which is basically Punishing March, but instead of Vet Harmony, I've got Malik. I think Singled Out is one of the most fun, ridiculously hilarious, like...
Yeah, it's fun. It's a really fun character play.
I love the fact that in just that +3 attack you get from the crowd out there, Singled Out, it turns, like, anyone into a fucking murderer all of a sudden. Like, even Flint can just fucking rap for days on that. So, the thing I had with that, I was really pumped to play that team for a bit, and I remember messaging you going, I've got this making team on the thing, and I'm like going, oh, I'm not fully there, and I'm like going, instead of going like, oh, come on now, but I really the funny thing, half the week I'm relying on team, I knew it'd be a nightmare for you to play again. Yeah. I don't want to push you into a game you don't, you know, a game you aren't in the mood for, then to go, aha, basically the anti-you team.
Yeah.
Like, I can't play against you, but when I make teams, I make them with beating your mind.
Yeah.
So, I generally like teams to be flexible, but I remember saying, like, I thought the Maker and the Blacksmith would be a good natural account to navigate fish gen. And I still think I'm right on that point. But that's that thing where I play to be annoying anyway. That's just my style.
Yeah.
I like to frustrate opponents and go, I like them in that situation of just going, oh, fuck, cake. I can't. Just when we had an activation in this game, I was like, all right, +3 damage to everything. Fucking hell. It's like, non-momentum Kevin down for tough hide. Like, well, shit.
Of course, it's just red mist.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, well.
Granite's just left standing there breathing heavily. like, covered in blood.
I hope I can kill him in such a way that still lets me kill another model while I'm there. Disappointed that I can only get a non-momentum 4 on fucking whatever. But it's hard to, I didn't want to, that thing, it's hard to be pushy when I already play that way. Playing a team I know will hurt you now. God, I didn't want to twist your arm, but when you were like, when you want a pump for it, I'm like going, I'm not that pump for it. I actually need you to be more enthusiastic about it for me to get really into it.
Yeah. But yeah, so like lately, I've just, don't know what it is, just been like, yeah, like you said before, it's that sort of 50% this, 50% this.
Yeah,
this,
yeah.
Like I've been fucking hick with real life from all sides at the minute. And so like, it's been just a bit hard to get jazzed up to play toy soldiers. You know what I mean? So... I think that's what a lot of it was. And then
you show up in a time machine, go to World War One. I've got Guild Ball, guys. Yeah. I've got more. Kind of got some things in my mind here, if you don't mind.
So as I sort of, it sort of slid back, and then so I'm like a creature of habit, and so I think the fact that I stopped playing sort of became a fact that I hadn't stopped playing. I don't play, you know. So yeah. That's why I needed to sort of just. And it was weird because like last year I didn't even go to SteamCon and I was excited for it. This year I'm like going fucking hell. Best look at how. Oh God, right. What's my route going to be? How am I going to get there? Oh great, there's traffic. Okay. But I've over the case of like 2 days, like sorry, over the last 2 days, I've gone from that zero. I haven't gone from 0 to 60, but like I'm comfortably in gear and sort of I'm at the biting point, I think. Because yeah. I sort of when we were like, should we get a game in? And I was like, yeah, fine, let's get it. And sort of everything leading up to the point of playing was like, fucking hell, gotta get my table out. Oh God. Oh, I'm playing out the pitch, gotta unzip this back, gotta look up a terrain on that app. Right, gonna lay it out, and then as soon as I like put my models down and as soon as I start allocating my influence, it was like I got this little glimmer back in my eye and I was just like, oh yeah, fuck, I really enjoy this.
And left I checked, I don't really like this shit. Yeah.
And I just think that like kind of part of that is the fact that as soon as you came over with a big bag of like our collective teams that you're slowly painting your way through.
Yeah.
I was just and I'm just like I'm gonna this weekend going to SteamCon, I'm not gonna be like all fish all the time, all navigators all the time or whatever. I'm actively gonna try and randomly just pick a team. Like yeah. I might just roll the dice for each time, what am I gonna play, you know? Unless something's really got me like going, yeah, really fancy fish at this matchup or something like that. So that sort of got me excited, like, oh, I'm gonna get to play with all the new season 4 toys, you know.
The funny thing is, all the teams I've got, other than the Bruins one, who basically I painted up the model I want because they kind of are my team, the Union and Engineering team, that like that really my thing.
Mm.
Like, my Engineering can be much more up your street than my street,
yeah.
Like, local, like, not down on one, remote control, that kind of, you know, cheeky yeah. shit like that. Or, my Union, that's Blackheart. I do really like Blackheart, but it's got Blackheart, Mist, Rage. I love the for the most fun character trait of the game, but I like going, I think it's really my team. I haven't agreed to call and all that lot. Decimate, gutter, whatever. But they're much more striking.
Yeah.
Then I think you'd have a lot more fun with some of my team than I would have, judging by the fact I don't play them.
That, well, what I'm really, really looking forward to just picking a box and just going, right, what six is he painted? Cool, let's go with that. Yeah. You know.
Although that coin, I'm going to strip that coin.
Really?
You can tell, but I've just tried painting over yellow. I really wanted a yellow snake. Didn't go my way. And instead of just stripping it on a champ coin, I'll just go over it again. Avalon Sunset, really cool paint. It'll surely go over it. I'm going, it didn't rip it. Looks like shit. Which is a shame because all the other models are relatively nicely painted.
Yeah, I really want a yellow snake. Painting yellow doesn't really work. It's not very easy. I made a calculated decision. I'm just very bad at maths.
Yeah. How many lanes of paint take to fuck up a model? About 4. But to be fair, like, it's not like you've had just a lull in the game for no fucking reason. It's not like your real life shit is just generic real life. Like, it's real shit. We're not going to go into detail. We're not fucking around here. Not like we just showed up and went, oh, you know, I went to co-op and the reduced section wasn't full and I like it. Fuck Guild Ball. It's like, it just look like, yeah.
Hello, mate. I love a rum and coke. Is Pepsi okay? Oh, fuck Guild Ball. Yeah. Have you got these shoes in an 11? Oh, fuck Guild Ball.
Yeah. Everything, just fuck Guild Ball.
Oh, my dog's annoyed at fireworks. Fuck Guild Ball.
Fucking, yeah, by the way, we couldn't have recorded, we probably recorded this podcast at a slightly better time than other times. Because for the past 4 days, we've both got dogs. It's like fucking fireworks. Didn't sit down. We did have a game.
We did indeed. Proper
game. Oh my God. Yeah, just 10 minutes of, just like going, listen, right, we're still pumped. We're still here. There'll be some kind of Toy Story scenario. Well, the model come to life like going, fucking hell, it's been a while, hasn't it? We're just, our dogs are getting thick and fucking kill team back here. Shit.
Yeah. They turn around and like Corsair and Shark are going, God, it's been a while. And then Grayscale's just looking over at them. It's just grizzled. I haven't been taking out this box in months. You don't know how good you've got it.
It's dead in the law. Fuck that shit. I think it's dead. Yeah.
Good.
Fuck
that guy.
And I enact our new law rule. I'm going to get rid of all of them. Black Cat, dead, can't bring him. Rage, dead, can't bring him. I assume everyone's dead.
I think you're possibly the worst person to try and be making like fresh takes and like hot jokes
about from
the law.
That could make it fun. Gina, I assume dead.
Everyone dead.
Everyone I don't like dead.
Sherwin just sat there at a desk with a notepad and a pen just covered in blood.
Fucking, right, I'm not there. We're back!
Oh. Clearly, it was such a long break, we've forgotten how to podcast.
No, fuck it. No, keep it real. Keep it fresh. People do not tune in today for, like, super hot take. They're going like, oh, no, God, I've got a tournament coming up. I need to get the therm for the latest track.
Imagine that. You're listening to this on Friday. Right, you're listening to this on Friday.
Driving down, going, right, I'm going to enter the last chance qualifiers. This is my chance to get into Worlds. And it's just this nonsense.
Well, I'm telling you that right now, listener. If you're the guy tuning in thinking they're going to improve your game, joke on you, motherfucker. yes.
Okay, so we sat down for a game. Come on, we can do this.
Welcome to the firm.
Episode 26, we played a game. We did play a game.
We did sit down.
Okay.
Like I said earlier, I had my dream-making team.
The nightmare team.
I do think they're a fucking catastrophic team.
It was just a fresh hell. Like, if there was never a time where I was like, right, I've got an activation here because you've got to activate someone who can't do something. There was always someone who could either do something or turn someone else on. Fucking horrible.
I can tell you when I put this team originally together, it's basically the Punishing match bot. Got a hammer wrecker who I didn't know much about the old wrecker, but I don't know if he can even change. But whoever wrecker is now, he's fucking great. Could people always bring marble from brick? And I know they have got an nerf, but before it was cool, I never particularly loved brick and marble. You've just got two models who are just there for counter charge, like engage them, done.
Yeah.
I never liked that.
They got me 4 inches away from each other. Okay, well, I've got 2 inch reach, so I'm engaging both.
Yeah,
counter charges offline.
Yeah, if anything, brick would be quite annoying because he had 2 inch melee counter charge. Even 1 inch melee people could get rid of counter charge by just being in the 2 inch. Like 2 inch melee almost gave you a bit of extra range for cancelling counter charge. Yeah. I never particularly warmed up to them two. Like Harmony getting marble, alright, I guess. But you're gonna be doing the brick shit with them anyway. If you're gonna bring marble, you gotta bring brick. I didn't like that. Wrecker, great. First off, 2-3 on a fucking mascot. You're never gonna hit a mascot back to time. 3 armor on a mascot if you get cover. What the fuck? No one's even gonna bother. No, you're not even gonna fucking try.
It's not worth it for one.
Really, movie. Really. Yeah. You little fucker as well. Like the little 3-2-inch push. So the thing I love about Wrecker in this is that one of the things that I think really hurt the team is fucking random positioning. Wrecker really don't help with that. I had an activation with Corsair where he was like out, he was just being engaged by one model. Wrecker hit him. He's now being engaged by 4, then Wrecker.
Yeah.
Like literally it went from, oh, I might be alright to the entire team fucking on for free.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just fucking, oh, what a mascot. Tower, great. Tooled up. Granite, fucking great model. 2-inch melee, knocked down early. Can't be knocked down. Can shimmy the fuck out of my model. Even models that have their own shimmy. She can shimmy. She's just a fuck. She's a knobhead of a model. If she had tough hide, she'd be fucking ridiculous. Chisel, who's just an insane damage dealer now. If you've got momentum, get +1 damage for free.
Yeah.
+4. She's knocking out damage. Brewer's playbook on top of that. If she kills someone, she goes to 3 armor.
Is that for the rest of the game or that turn?
Just that turn. But you know, that is the Mori.
Yeah.
You know, and on them turn when you're getting on them for the next turn activation, yeah. She turn on, boom, dead. Yeah. Onto the next.
Dead, and what you gonna do about it?
Yeah, go. Yeah, no bed.
No.
If Granite's giving her a hand, even better. Mallet replacing Vet Harmony. Not team. Don't particularly like Vet Harmony. I know people have been floating around that tech where Granite gets hurt, she passes the damage onto Vet Harmony, and then Granite can then use that to do, you get to do the free jog,
yeah,
if they've been hurt within 4 inch. I don't particularly like that tech. You're getting out of their melee, but you're giving them a free party blow. And one of the things that makes Granite great is that sturdy. And even if you go, alright, I'm not going to knock, they're not going to knock me down, they're going to try and pound up. If they've not got knocked down, fuck yeah. It's such a rare control.
I think the problem with tech like that is it's not Hoist takes this ability, he goes and does his thing. You know, it's like you have to attack Granite, that your positioning has to be right so they're in the right place. That
I'd rather get singled out than have that tech.
Yeah.
And Malik's just a cheeky fucker as well. For 2, you have to charge, you guarantee the 2 damage. That 2 damage eats through tough hide. Singled out, bing bang bosh. If you're lucky, you get a wrap. But if he gets a wrap on that charge, momentum's not down, momentum singled out, 2 damage, 2 push, which I'm never going to take, I'll crowd out. It's just a little bastard. And then Mallet, Chickle, Tower, Granite, Wrecker, and Hammer. Hammer's fucking it's hard to be around. You just want to not be near him.
Yeah. I took Corsair, Kraken, Tentacles, Angel, Fathom, and Veteran Sakana. Originally I was gonna swap out Corsair for Shark, and I think I should have done. I think my gut instinct was right there. But I basically sort of psyched myself out at the last minute going, I haven't played in a while, I wanna go back to my safety, like Corsair's my comfort pick, you know. Like
To be fair, him and Kraken together together are quite annoying.
Yeah, it's just a case of I think it was bringing them into the wrong team. You've got so much two armor, and you've just got so much survivability and sturdy and stoic in there, and it's just like they can't do their best stuff, you know. Yeah. And I got hurt a lot more by the non-momentous damage results than I thought I was gonna be.
To be fair, that not the armor really hurt from.
But so I scored a goal turn one, then I killed Granite.
Yeah, Granite. Yeah. And it took a lot to take it down.
Yeah, but I killed her at the top of turn two. Then don't think I actually got any more points. No, and you got what? You got six kills for the win.
I was on. We ended on 8. Concede point, but yeah. We're in a situation where
I conceded, so yeah, you got
we're
four
in a situation
kills.
Where if you've got a goal, I kick out to my goal and I'm getting that ball.
Yeah. It wasn't even a case of do I choose to take the goal, it was do I sink an entire turn into getting this ball back possibly. You know, it was just a case where I looked at the table, we both sort of looked at it, and we did that thing where you sort of, because it was casual, we both sort of talked through options that were there, and then every time we came up with an idea we went, oh but no, because this would happen, or what about no, maybe no. So we looked at it and I just said, this is going to be a massive waste of both our time, should we just stop?
Yeah,
which wasn't quite the triumphant return to Gilball that we were both hoping for.
Yeah, it's very rare we concede game, but in the situation I was in, with I've got literally my entire team in the centre, with your guy around the side, the second from game, I'm just going to start dishing out damage. Yeah. And Hammer fucking, Doug Hammer story, will literally just claw his way for most fucking, God help you if he's still done.
Yeah.
I can, thanks to the fucking team, I can be in a situation where I can force myself up 2 damage. And with Chiggle, plus 3 damage situation,
yeah.
Where it's like Hammer legendary, I've got Tuldo, Iron Fist. That's the good thing about Chiggle as well. If she had Tuldo, it'd really hurt how play from that team. Because Iron Fist, you're like Tuldo different, Iron Fist is different, legendary different. Bang, 3 damage. But yeah, just a hit. It's a momentum 4, you know.
Yeah.
Make them get what they want early. They get non-momentum, they're really great results and all non-momentum. Mm. But I never really look at that end playbook and go, oh, it's nice if I can get it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the fact I can just get a hit and I get momentum 4 damage, okay, and I just claw my way through. Knowing tough hide, it's just no defense again. Great dive.
Yeah.
Yeah, like insane activation. Yeah, when I'm putting the team together, I said to you, my initial thing for the team is that I can activate them in almost any order.
Yeah.
And even if they don't have a great activation, they will somehow help another model out. So if Tower goes, it all puts up the sturdy to prevent people getting knocked down. Malik goes, he's getting singled out, he's doing charge, he's coughing them up a bit of damage. If Chinkle goes, she's just great any time of day.
Yeah.
Good for the fucking thing. Chinkle's probably the only one who can't hugely go first. But if you put me in a situation where I have to go first, it really doesn't change.
You still got money up there.
Yeah. Yeah. And if she doesn't kill them, which is her job, she'll have 3 armor. She goes from weak link of the team to borderline killable in like an instant. And then Granite, who can lock models down, be annoying, put you in a situation where you kind of come for the plus minus 2 on crowd out. If someone tried to attack someone else, really put you in a situation where I kind of got to take Granite.
Yeah.
And when they've already got, if you're attacking another model on this team, if it's Chinkle and she's already killed them, 3 minus 2 attack, anyone else, they've taken 2 armor, looking for fucking. You know, if Granite can help him out, and she can knock down and gun straight, just fucking, you know, just chip away at some fucking.
Yeah. If I could have that game back to try again, I'd have swapped Corsair for Shark, and I think Kraken would have come out for Siren.
I
don't know if that's too much of like a delicate team, but I really want to try a Fathom and Angel, because there was a couple of times that would have been really useful. But the armor was just too high. You know, I couldn't get the steal with Fathom for the feed in the instant, like, because I don't think that the Fathom Angel link trick is Fathom scores a goal, Link Angel scores a goal. I think it's Fathom retrieves the ball and then you eliminate the risk by going linked. The Fathom retrieves the ball, passes to Angel, and then you kill the risk, Angel activates now.
Yeah.
So you don't give them the chance to put their foot in the door, you know. But I don't know, it's something I want to try out, and I think I'll be trying it in the casual space over the weekend if people are cool with me proxy.
Well, yeah. I don't care about shit. Not in the tournament.
Yeah, that's it. Because I was thinking about entering the LCQ. And like my initial plan has been to enter it, you know. I've wanted to enter it for a while, but then I was just like, you know, it's gonna be a massive Shark Tank, and I think the last thing I need of coming off a bit of a slump of the game is to just walk in first thing Friday morning to a 3-day convention and just get my teeth knocked out and then be like, cool, that was fun.
I know if you go to a regular demand or even 8 time, it's a different kind of atmosphere as well. Like, I know you show up to an event and go like, oh, you know, we're just playing 4 games in a day, we're just, you know, and you, even no matter how you try and put it, you know, casually, whatever, it's a different kind of game than an actual casual
game
where, yeah, people people, I know, okay, people try hard. People can't help but try hard. I do it all the time. Like, I'm not going to show up to a tournament looking for fucking purple.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, if we come Longchamp, people are going to take that shit relatively quickly.
Well, what I'm looking at is, I heard about it, what they did in the States was scrambles. So, okay. Like, you just sort of, you go, I'm starting a scramble, and then eight people will then do a quick three-round tournament.
Yeah.
Just like Bish Bash Bosh, they're on the spot. And then you go, cool, that was fun. Thanks, guys. Next scramble. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And so there'll be loads of these running at the same time. I might do some stuff like that, you know, sort of like semi-competitive. But there's like there's loads of people from the community that I've like speak to on Twitter and like speak to on Facebook that I want to like have a proper catch up with, get a good like casual game in with. I'm just looking forward to it. I think that I really hope that this weekend jazzes me back up. Like, gets that rocket back up my ass, the Guild Ball that I've had for like the last 2 years that suddenly died out as I go to SteamCon.
Oh, okay, that combination of real life shit, work shit, fucking and everything else, and like yeah, going to SteamCon and just going, we're trying to take part in probably the most hardcore tournament of the year. Fucking yeah, play it cool, play it casual.
I also like been talking to a few people, and I'm like, obviously they've had that like truly truly horrific thing with the navigators where like it was the massive fucking issue in tsunami, was it typhoon?
Oh yeah. The actual navigator box.
Something horrible,
the Chinese typhoon.
Obviously I've been pumped for navigators for so long, like they've all I've been playing in practice games, and they sort of because the date keeps slipping. I don't know if part of it they've was just been, like yeah. a sort of ugh.
They've been delayed for a long time. Can't forget, what date did the cards actually come out? We proxied them almost immediately. The second we could, we had them on board.
But I was playing them as they were being announced. Like, when the Fathom thing came, because was it Horizon came first? I think it was Horizon came first.
Yeah.
And that day, that evening, we played, and I proxied Horizon. And then when Fathom came out, I did the same. Like,
yeah, because they're the first two swap over. Yeah, it feels like fucking forever ago that we first actually put them on the board. Like, I've been thinking, don't complain again. Keep people waiting, you know, for actually like, weird things showing up to tournament. Okay, like weirdly enough, I'm probably one of the people the most practiced against navigator, probably around at them.
Yeah.
Just literally barely before they even came out, I was doing the whole me and you were bashing out games, and we've had more games than my fucking counters.
Yeah.
Like I've come all the way around to like, ooh yeah, new guild. Man, these guys, fuck these guys, never mind. And then to like going, all right, maybe we should pick some different guilds now.
Yeah.
Just for the not even out of like quality, enough, just out of like going.
Yeah.
I think it'd help.
You like 30 games with them, kind of one.
Yeah, it's kind of like put someone else on the board, and to go for that entire cycle before the box even fucking got here. I mean,
like, don't get me wrong, like, literal first world problems. I've like, obviously, there's bigger fish to fry with.
Like, but it's one thing. I know it can't be helped, but also it can't be helped how you feel.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that thing of like going, because it's no one's fault, you have like an obligation to be cool with it. Like going, oh yeah, I'm not pumped for it.
Yeah.
I was pumped for it 2 months ago, and when they didn't come out, then I still remain pumped. When they didn't come out the next time, I remain pumped. And when they failed to come out yet again, you know what? I'm calling them a pumped card. You know, I'm not under an obligation to remain hyped for fucking 2 months in a row. Sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I know some guys like, if you're super pumped for the guild, you should be. If you haven't played them all, great. That's the thing. If you're waiting for the actual model, I imagine you're quite ready to get them on board. But yeah, for people like me and Alex who fucking bashed out close of 20 plus game, maybe. It's like
definitely more than 20. I don't.
Yeah, probably not. You definitely played more than 20. But I mean, just against me.
Oh yeah.
That's not even factoring outside influence. Like I've just played so many just against you.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm ready for the cooked guild. Not ready. I'm ready for my turn to put the new guild on the table. Yeah, fucking cooked guild. Mine are on defense. What the fuck were they thinking? I can't wait for
just
that.
Wait, so we should like create a bingo card for this podcast, because it's like you guys have heard it with the blacksmith, you've heard it with the navigators. So what happen is they'll come out, Ryan will think they're hot bullshit, I'll defend it, eventually I'll come round, Ryan will still think what their particular thing is hot bullshit, we'll then talk about how we both think it's hot bullshit, and then we'll go into the point where we've actually played enough games that we start to understand it, and we say that okay, maybe they're not broken but we still don't like playing them, and then we'll come around to the fact of oh yeah, no, they are fine.
To be fair, I've
and then the entertainment, and then the miners will come out. And
to be fair, I've looked at like I've seen like roast, and you know what the cooks have to offer so far. And like I think roast looks surprisingly like, you know, kind of even-handed.
Yeah.
Like okay, I get you. You know, you get big, you lose big. Kind of thing. So I think they're gonna live up to the promise of what they, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the glass cannon thing we were sold on, isn't it? You know.
And I do love glass cannon. Fucking, I love that kind of play. I love that, like, you know, I'm a big proponent of big activation.
Yeah.
I just love that fucking, alright, ooh, starting here, I get whatever bonus you can get from Cook. What's the one that Rogue gives? You get charged for one influence if you're within his aura.
Pass, haven't looked at it.
I think like if you're within 2 inches of the person you give it to, they get the charge for one. That's the start. If one of the rules gives someone berserk, I'm gonna fucking my mind. But that thing of like going, all right, one for the charge, boom, fucking, oh, fucking 20 attacks somehow. I don't even know if it's possible, but I'm hoping. But that thing of, I really want that moment of turning around to someone and going like, something special, like momentum 20.
I can just see one of the auras being, generate your dice pool, double it.
That'd fucking be unreal. I love that. Oh.
Yeah. And it's called like batch cooking or something, or meal prep.
Some name that doesn't even make a big sense in terms of what you get. chopping calorie, and you're like, yeah, plug 20 attack. Not even big related. That'd be good on spread the salt. There you go.
Salt Bay.
Fucking. I'm available, Steam Forge, if you want to give me a call. After talking shit about him 5 minutes straight. I am pumped for the Cup Guild. I do really want to get involved. You know what the free space could be on the bingo? Ryan mentioned for fighting game, which I'm about to do. I wanted to mention it on the podcast. It was what I'm thinking about the other day. A guy I was watching, he was playing, he had a video up of an old match he had in like 2003 or something. But he was like world champion and he commentated on.
This is me being fucking brilliant.
Pretty much. He's a really funny guy. He does it really well. But he was talking, he had a Twitch chat and someone went, oh, you know, Discord. And he went, we didn't have fucking Discord. And he's that thing going like, we didn't talk to each other. If you discovered something, fucking off. You didn't tell anyone. You bring it to a tournament and fuck everyone up of it, and then it became your thing. Yeah. There was no sharing, there was no tech. You had your thing, and it became like your strategy with your character, whatever. And I was thinking on that. It's weird that because of the internet and like Discord and Facebook and the forum, like it's almost weird that there's not much room like personality play. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
There's nothing. It's not like I have any shit hot tech or whatever. But it's almost weird that there's no like outside of like people to play it first. Like Alex Box get to go first to the farmer, to the farmer tech. But there's nothing that you can, like, you refer to as, like you never go the Henry K tech, you know, the Henry K 1-2, or you know, the Alex Box fresher setup or something like that. There's no a personality behind some of the tech, all kind of a bit morph into a bit of a ball. I don't know why I find that so interesting. That I wonder if that'd be more motivational for you to like try and develop their own unique strategy. If there was more of a stake on like the claim, where you go like I came up with a team and the team had been running, not special, but if I were going, oh, here's what I do, like if I'd have come up with a 2-1 shimmy, like granite 2-1 shimmy, like she can't knock me down, if I get the 1-inch model, knock him down outside of the edge, they're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, and I could call that, even the word shimmy I borrowed from fighting games, like it's called the Gutek shimmy, and that, even that was named after a player who came up with a little extra. It's weird you don't have that in Guild Wars, and I don't think there's ever been a point where that, like individual players get to like lay claim to strategy and it's their strategy. I wonder if anyone's like come up with their own, like, this is mine, this is how I do the strategy. I guess since Guild Ball isn't spectator friendly, you can't look at it and then go, oh, that, you know, there's no golf, or you know, it's not basketball where I can watch Michael Jordan like really do a thing. Go off, oh, fucking Michael Jordan thing.
Yeah. Oh, we've got a tweet here. Someone's actually managed, someone's got in touch with her saying about their hot tech. And what they do is they've cut a set of acrylic measuring sticks that are half an inch longer than what they're saying now.
Oh, God, what the fuck are we even going to call that one? That'd be a great way to shame playing.
Or just grab it, picking up extra dice. That's the Ryan roll, when you're just grabbing an extra handful of dice.
Go pick the whole thing off and re-roll.
Instead of just taking one out.
Oh yeah, actually he's done the Ryan 1-2 there. What's that? Push him when they get a 2-inch push. Push him 1-inch and then push him the other in the direction. Which I literally did for, I've done for like fucking the entire time I've been playing the game. I didn't realise you had to take pushy in one go. And that turned around to you, right? I think it were
we were driving back from the Hooligans Cup.
Yeah, I think it was, I can't remember who told me about it, but I like going, is that fucking true? Turn around to Dave, and you're like going, yeah. I get to you on the way back, like, oh yeah, turn around, you can't do. And you literally turned around, you did that thing from Austin Power until you went, oh yeah, I knew the entire time.
But like, it's, I don't know what it is, because it's going to sound ridiculous, because people are going to go, but why didn't you say anything, because that's not in the rules. But I was just like, every time it happened I just sort of went, I don't care enough to bring this up. Because whenever people say, oh, you should you should practice on clock, like, and stuff like that, and anything that would suggest making our games, like, I don't know, because to us I consider that a bit more competitive, whereas I can definitely understand where people are coming from saying, no, it's not, that's practicing the game. Yeah, I get where you're coming from, but for me, because when I play at tournaments I'd get in a different mindset, so the action of pressing a clock I consider to be a competitive part of the game. And so whenever people say that, I go, oh, I don't really want to play competitive, because when we play,
it's like 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, you know, we're having a bit of coffee, sometimes we're having breakfast, and we're having just a chill and a catch up and a chat while we play. So like the idea of you going, okay, I'll take a 2-inch push, going push, push, and me, every time I looked down at it, and I was just like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it makes no difference. We're like, obviously, I should have said something, because it turns out, because obviously the effect of me not doing that means you've been doing that at tournaments and stuff, which like I only realised once you said it, and I was just like, oh shit, yeah, maybe I should have said something, but you know, yeah, I didn't, so
did you realise, pray I knew the entire time? Shit, fucking how many other rules will I go, shit, I can't believe it, what do you mean you only get 3 VP for a goal, motherfucker? You get 2, you actually do get an influence for every 2 killing you get. Yeah. I'm waiting for that
the navigators can't actually re-roll.
If that happened, someone turned around and went, oh yeah, no, they can only get like the 1 per turn, you know, per model, I'd literally have like a Clint Kent moment where, spoiler alert, Bruce Willis bank out is dead at the end. Literally, like, I'd start clutching my chest and I'd feel blood. I'd have like a stomach feature that bad. I'd literally start bleeding from my side, like, oh. You just step around the corner. How did you get here? You're in a simulation, right? We just needed a shock horrible enough to wake you up. Yeah. No, that'd be my version of Vanilla Sky. You'd be my Cameron Diaz, like re-rolling. I can't believe she's getting away with it. How? Wake up, Ryan, wake up. Yeah, if any of you guys come up with any tracks you think are unique to you, okay, give an email. You don't even have to like have a back and forth of it. Just like, okay, here's my idea, this is mine, and just put it out there.
Or like, maybe it's like your secret tech that you don't want people to know, but if there's like something in your local meta where people go, oh yeah, that's Gary does that all the time, you know, yeah, like, because we've all got like that sort of, I don't think that you're suggesting that there isn't like a play style that's personal.
Yeah.
I've got quite a personal play style, like compared to you, for example, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone plays the game differently, but I think what you're suggesting is like little like nuggets of tech,
yeah, in some way, yeah,
which I think that, like you said, the reason there isn't any is because as soon as a card comes out, it's almost like data mined by fucking gubs.
But that's the thing, like, I guess there's so many different things, and a lot of the stuff that counts under the realm tech kind of falls into a certain area. The like for example, the 2-1 shimmy isn't unique to any team or something, or it's not like a really super specific card. If you've got a 2-inch melee and a knockdown, you can do it to pretty much anyone. Yeah. And like going, oh yeah, like pushing people off the board, no matter how creatively it's done. Even particular tech, like unexpected arrival, a momentum double push on your player. In terms of how you're pushing, basically, it's hard to like find way to be hugely unique that way. That's just the nature of the game.
I wonder if it is because it's such a tight rule set.
Yeah.
You know, like how we always say it's so tight, really, like it's really clean. There's no sort of like torn edges at the side where you can start to like peel things away. It's like, it's a very clean cut system, and within this system, each guild sort of bends it in a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, they sort of add their own. It's almost like you've got your guild ball omelette is your eggs, cream, salt, pepper. And then you sort of, so the fisherman flavour is like, yeah, the abundance of 2-inch melee, like dodges on 1, great kick, you know. And then like the sort of the hunter's sort of flavour to the omelette is the snared, and like the just, and then the farmers are like, yeah, harvest markers. And like, yeah, and the new sort of playbook construction that they've got. So I wonder if it's that, whereas some games like you play and the core rules are like this wall of noise. And yeah, that's why I think I said it earlier where like when I was saying about how lately I haven't been that jazzed for Guild Ball, I was saying how weird it was because I don't even really consider myself a miniatures player. My main hobby is Guild Ball. It's not miniatures. Yeah. And my primary game is Guild Ball. It's, yeah, I play Guild Ball. Yeah. And I play other games because when I go down to the club every other week, I can't always guarantee that I'm going to get a game of Guild Ball. That's why I started playing Kill Team.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it was, Guild Ball was the, like, I'd call it the thin end of the wedge, but it was a pretty fucking thick edge.
Yeah, like, yeah. No, I know what you mean. Like, Guild Ball, probably the only time in miniature game I've taken it anywhere near vaguely. I've played it, like, consistently. Yeah. Like I've not really played that much on.
Picked up Infinity, I put it back down. You know, I tried to dip my toe into 40k. It wasn't me. I bought and sold an entire Rebel fleet of X-Wing. Bought them, played it twice, sold it. Like,
well, I think that's the thing for me. It's not even like I had particular problems with the system, but 9 times out of 10, the reason I was playing wasn't the game itself.
Mm.
Like, if me and Jim, for example, only played together, we only played Infinite, I could probably get into Infinite. I could probably learn the rules and all that shit. I could probably paint up a good force, whatever. But I'd probably be playing to hang out with Jim. I wouldn't be playing playing it kind of just like, oh, you know, love of the game just keeps bringing me back. And to be fair, I probably won't even play the fucking game if we weren't hanging out. To be perfectly honest, like, if me and you weren't playing, you didn't live so close and we weren't playing casually all the time, I don't think I'd be that, you know, super pumped to just run off on my own and go to Tom.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of do really enjoy the Tom. Mm. But the game is a big part. It's the game that kind of keeps me coming to it. It's a hard one to actually put down. Yeah, I think in that bank, but maybe it's 2 pounds. Because there aren't that many guilds, really. There are effectively 12 core guilds with a couple of, everyone can have a minor, but they basically get folded into the guild.
Is it 12 and the union, or is the union the 12th and then the minor?
Yeah, the union's the top. But altogether, they'll even at best there'll be 24 guilds. I half wondered, the thing I'm thinking of, like, that there are so many characters, and then you got glitches or, you know, weird, like, computer game shit to basically factor in.
But, like, I don't know, because you're saying there's, I don't even consider it as, like, there's 12 guilds. You know, there's 12 guilds, there's two captains to each, which drastically change the play style. You know, so there's 24 ways to play, and then within that there's how you build each team, and then within that there's how you're interacting with the other guilds. So I don't think it's as simple as there's 12.
Maybe I can understand the game better with simplified, okay. But I think one more thing as well, is that there aren't that many, like, super explosive personalities. It's not like kind of scene anyway. It's not, you know, even though we make podcasts and shit, we're not like bombastic in your face motherfucker. We get to a tournament, we're not going around patting, you know, hi buddy, patting everyone back, like making a big thing out of it. It kind of, I think because miniatures themselves, it kind of fits such a reserved topic. It makes it like, it's not really like, it's not a place to go to, you know, for bombastic personality.
Yeah.
But it's not really, and you're never going to get like, I maybe commentating, that's a big part of it. Because, like, you only have commentating on live stream, and only on a couple, a lot of people mainly record the game and just kind of give impartial info. Even guys I really like who commentate, like, I know Vin Kirkhoff.
Yeah.
He's quite, you know, one of the things I like about him to the pair, but he's quite dry with the information he gives. He kind of occasionally has some flavour of, you know, I intended to do this, but he, you know, had this put it out. But he's not like that kind of, you know, he's not like a circus leader, you know, like kind of personality where he's just completely over the top and quite going, all right, I go in this big fucking activation here. Oh, we're going to try and 2-1 me. Oh, I think, yeah, you can't really find a way to get catchers and going together. But the thing that kind of gets me about it, that I think the part of me always goes, it'd be a shame if one on the road comes up with some really cool shit and he just kind of gets mushed into the info stream when they come up with some really cool, like, they can't lay claim to it. I don't particularly want to go like that. I just thought it was one thing that kind of fascinated me.
I think there's just too many variables.
Yeah.
I think, like, there's, with how big a pitch is, the positioning options are, like, I think literally limitless, you know, with the size of a pitch, you know. If you looked at a heat map, a lot of it is going to be in the middle, like 2/3, you know, from both lengthways and widthways. But there is the potential for them 12 models to be anywhere, you know. There's and how they all react to each other could be so different. I think it's harder than when there's sort of like a limited roster and you're working with what they've got and putting it at someone, not sort of looking at a playbook and then have to, like, have another model's sort of defense affect what sort of bracket of your playbook you're going to hit.
I think the one thing that made me more interested, like, how much more tempted do you be to try, like, weird and out there track if you've got, like, credit for it? Do you know what I mean? Like, how much more tempted would you to be to, like, try? It's like, you know, when we first got down, like, age ago, and this was like way back when you were playing like your original Shark team, and I was that thing where I was trying to hammer you with Angel, and I'm saying to you, like, bring her,
yeah,
fucking great, bring her, just bring this bitch. And you brought her eventually, and you literally went to Tom and people like, Angel, she's dead fucking weight, fuck her. And you were literally walking out of the game going, fuck this, she just cleaned down, she literally won me game.
There have been games where I've like walked away from the table and people have gone, oh, how's that gone, and I've gone, oh yeah, Angel just scored 12 points. Like, I've had games where Angel scored every single point in that game, and people have looked at me, seen me say that, heard me say that, digested that information and gone, yeah, I don't think she's very good. I'm like,
but that's the thing, when you played against other people that are down the line who, like, brought Angel and basically went, you know what, you were right, she's great. And how, there's that little part in it go, I haven't gone that shit first.
Yeah, there was, I must say that I think the closest thing I've ever felt to that is when someone, I think I've probably mentioned it before, like someone who's like well into his fish, I won't say who it is in case they don't want to be remotely attached to us, Kate came up to me at Nationals after a game and just went, you were right about Angel. And I was just like, yes! Yes!
No, but you do. I know it seems like a childish thing, but it does motivate you to like put yourself out there a bit more, yeah. Do you know? And like I've said before, like I view the Hunter team I brought for AJ as my Hunter team.
Yeah.
And if someone had played the exact game team mirrored, I won't go, oh, that actually they've also brought Farrah and her. I go, this motherfucker's playing my team. Yeah. Think you're going to beat me with my own team. You're out of your mind.
These, but know, they're loyal. These guys are loyal.
I already know what they can do. I'm already 2 steps ahead of you.
Like the episode of Futurama when they end up in the inside that other universe and then like Leela sort of run, they both run and do flying kicks and just smash each other in the face. Yeah. I can beat her, I know all her moves.
Well, it's like if you went to a tournament played against another guy, right, and you went oh, I've only brought six models and these my kicks can't play them, you know, that little bat ahead of go, ah, the Ryan, you know it, like that, and that's the thing. I like that ownership. I like that, you know, driving like rules outside of the rules of the game. But oh, bear in mind one other thing I'm thinking of, you know, I forget how long it's been since we did the last fucking episode, but right after Hooligan Cup.
Almost 3 weeks.
Yeah. After Hooligan Cup, yeah. Josh dropped me a message and he was like, oh, shame about your loss to Mark. I'm going, oh, yeah. And he did that thing where he went, come back. He kept the same thing to me after the match. But Josh getting it full, going, oh, Gaffer, she just beat Ferrin. I go, wait a minute. I lost that game 12-8 when I missed a goal. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't getting fucking reamed. That was sheer bad luck to cut one out of my pocket.
Yeah.
But he was like, thinking, like, oh, you know, but the inevitable result of that match can only be that. I'm going, wait a minute, I barely fucking lost that.
Yeah.
And I'm going, like, I said to Josh straight away, like, going, like, yeah, I had that thing where I'm like going, wait a minute, I only had one loss. Fucking thing. Come on, I can't tell him. The problem with a lot of people who play the game is that they'll have literally one loss and go, terrible matchup, I've pulled my shit card. And
I am guilty for that. I've done that with Hag. I gave her 3 chances and I couldn't figure her out because I feel like she plays so differently. She is a pure support model, you know. She's so different to, and I was at the time of playing her, I was so used to all my guys having like a definitive role. They weren't what do you do? Well, I help the general F.
Yeah.
Like it's Corsair, what do you do? I stop you doing anything. Kraken, what do you do? I knock people down.
Yeah.
And then just sort of shouting out to everyone else on the pitch, what do you do? We score goals. Yeah, like where's that? And then the camera sort of pans to Hag and it's like, what do you do? And she goes, I'm helping. Like,
yeah.
I just didn't, it almost felt like I had too many options with her. Like, so I never knew what the right one was to go for. So that's why that was when I was first playing, and that's before I dropped away from the fish and went back to the farmer. So I really do need to give her another go. I really do. It's just so hard. Where does she go? Where does she fit in my lineup?
I feel like Hag just a generally annoying model. Like, Hag occupies the same space my mascot usually occupies, where if she gets what she wants, but if not, she's brown. Being kind of a fucking new one.
Yeah.
And it's like, with that fear, you know, you have to blow 2 influence to get a point.
Yeah.
Which I know for a lot of people find that really off-putting. I actually don't mind the trait. Usually they have really shit defense to compensate. Yeah. Like Gast and her, for example. I kind of like when they bring Gast and they're going to swing with 2 influence. I'll blow 2 influence. Fuck it. All right. 5 damage, you're bleeding.
That's the thing. It's all right for you because all you're just like is you're going, oh no, well, I didn't get my last attack. With me, it's always, well, you've just fucked with the maths of my goal scoring.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I need that for the acrobatic. I need that for the sprint. And I need that for the, I need that for the acrobatic. I need that for the charge. Well, now I need that third one for the charge. I haven't got one left for the shot. Like, it just fundamentally just goes, so what was your plan?
No.
You know, instead of, what was your plan? Oh, slightly worse now. That I think fear is particularly devastating into football teams.
Yeah, but that's only for you when her to bounce off. Like, 9 times out of 10, you can, very rarely you need that one model you need to, like, actually bounce off. And sometimes you can do little cheeky shit to get around it. Like, you know, you can, like, your card for the 1-in-1 charge.
Mm.
Go, all right, I'll pay the regular cost to get it off.
Yeah.
And for me, my favourite thing was fear model. Having seen her furious, I'm like, oh, in fact, you know what, do 3 attacks, fuck off fear. I'm going to quick look at it. This isn't going to bother me for the rest of it.
No, because it's because Furious is a charge without spending influence.
It's not
charging for 0 influence, which then goes to 1. It's you charge without spending any.
Oh, no. First time in any model, spend influence on attack. Yeah, because they have to blow something.
Yeah,
whatever. Shit. I hope I found a cheeky way around that going, yeah, you feral, and that cost. It would cost 3 attack. It would have cost 2, but it cost 0.
So you know what that's called? That's called the Ryan misreading.
Only count if they don't know what I'm talking about. The 3 attack shit. the free attack special. I kind of like Fear Kick. In fact, other opponent, I know they already were thinking, oh, he's not going to try it with that guy. He's not going to loop to him. Mm. No, I'll spend it. Boom, fucking Kena walking. Fuck you, level good damage. Yeah. And going, oh shit, she's 3-1. Oh, what is she with this shit? Like, fuck hero, fuck all defense. 13 health. Yeah, I'll blow the extra point of influence. Go fuck yourself.
Oh. That's what I mean, though. It's for like your sort of style of like dragging round a frankly too large sword behind you, whereas I'm trying to get the ball off people and she's just going, no, I'm too spooky for you to get the ball off me.
Yeah sure. I don't know. I'm half and half. I'm always half and half. But that's all okay to Josh, is like going, fucking hell. Like, I'm like literally lost one game by looking at my teeth. Two people come up to me, obviously just losing the matchup then, don't he? Like,
so that
game. Give me a fucking break. Hold on a minute.
So those six models that you've been playing for the last 18 months, been swearing by and really enjoyed playing, I think you should.
That I've been doing good with, by the way. It's not like I've been fucking looking every game going, well, I'm having fun at least. It's like, it's around like fucking reaming people. Going up against people literally, you know, head in hand going, fuck, I'm not entirely sure what to do about this. Yeah.
I don't think you will ever, if they could make it so Scatha gave you one VP every time her activation ended. Like, no, you if you had...
To be fair, in that case, I'm wrong. See, like, you know why I bring her? Because I'd love just going, I shall jog an inch, one VP. Well,
the thing is, I don't think you would. I really don't think you would, because I think you enjoy too much the idea of, okay, well, what if I, you pin, but measurement widgets out and you're just looking at them going, you don't get it.
But getting one VP for an activation would be way more annoying than just pinned, knowing I'm eking you out every activation. I'm just getting like, I can VP, that could kill, that could free VP, that could go. I can't kill it. I'd literally just jog her off to the edge of the pitch and just have like in the middle. I've got all the influence back there for everyone else. What am I going to do with 12 influence on the fucking fine? I guess check it for full stick. No, I'd the task to make Scatha pretty ridiculous to consider me changing. But I do consider Theron pretty ridiculous.
Scatha is something I wonder. One of the things I actually asked you earlier today, I was like, have you assembled Scatha? And you're like, no.
I'll put one on to you. If I knew you were going to play, it would come at some point. Like, for the past couple of years, I've been convinced you were never going to get a fish.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in no rush to assemble these models if I'm not going to play with them. But I will. I'll put them together and assemble it. I'll just give them a primer. At least then they're ready to be tamed. Because some of the models I really do fucking like.
Yeah. Well, I really want to try Scatha list. I think there's... Well, obviously, you know, everyone's trying it at the minute. But I like my football. I like my football. I'm eyeing up the church at the minute. I really am eyeing up the church at the minute.
Yeah.
Locke's posted in Gubs sort of going, oh, Black Friday deals at SteamCon. And my immediate reaction was, I'm going to come home with just a glum sort of resigned to, okay, I'm buying some models.
Like, you've got to be careful with Pokemon like that when you're like, oh guys, you can't believe what's coming up, big sale, Black Friday, anything can happen, and you don't really get to SteamCon and look like the booth where they're selling shit and it's all surrounded by a crowd. You finally break through, fucking hell, these sales are ridiculous. That's right, a free pack of Haribo with every purchase.
Every single item.
What if I buy two teams? Buy two packs of Haribo, we've gone crazy. Wait a minute. I'm being fucked over here. What the fuck?
The thing is, though, Black Friday is how I bought my first guild. You know, that's that. Ooh, ooh.
A free original making team with every patch. They're a bit small, aren't they? Well, in fact, they came even smaller than the original. Yeah, that's right. The originals were actually in 6mm. So, But for those of you who are a big fan of Tiny Guild Ball, it's going to really change how you...
Do you not have room for a 3x3? Do you have room for a 1x1.5?
We need to get on that. We need to pioneer mini Guild Ball. Could you play Vassal? Lower, make the green small. Only matter of time. But
I think we've started been talking bullshit for long enough.
Yeah, I've been chatting shit long enough.
Yeah, and I think we've had that sort of nice thing where this is, you know, this is just, we're back, you know,
we've not died.
Yeah, sorry, there was a bit of a gap, but we are still around, we are still playing Guild Ball. I'll be at SteamCon, Ryan won't be. I'm going to be hitting the casual play area. I don't think I'm going to enter any, if I enter any kind of tournament, it's going to be a scramble. I might enter a few scrambles, but yeah. If at any time you see someone walk around with a purple shirt on that says The Firm, I mean, it's good money that it's going to be me.
Yeah, we've not called them. We're doing the Cartman Land approach at the minute, which is just, you can't have them. They're the only ones who allowed them. If you find anyone else with a Firm t-shirt, you better believe.
Yeah. What's it of Sons of Anarchy? A fire or knife? But yeah, come up, say hello. I'm going to have a big old bag of diced. So this is us. This is a bit of a... Hey, I'm not even going to make an excuse for it being a freeform ramble. That's what people love. That's what people know and love. The brand of the firm is just sort of a meandering sort of... We get to the end. We get there in our own time.
Yeah. That's one way of looking at it.
The firm is never late. Yeah. The firm... Nor is the firm early.
Well, it's never fucking early. I can get to
the firm arrives precisely when we mean it to.
We're on navigating time at the minute, motherfucker. You're a Half-Life 3 time. Well, it's done, bitches.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about to get like going, hey, you know, thanks to back, you know, thanks for 3 or 4. I can't look it. No way. Go fuck yourself. We do this shit. No, yeah. We
if
are.
If you're annoyed it's late, I'll give you your money back.
Yeah. We promise we will refund every download. Yeah. We will give every download to charity for this podcast. Yeah. How about that? But no, thank you for tuning in. I've been Ryan.
I've been Alex.
In case you forgot who we were.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello everyone! Welcome back to episode 20 of it's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been mere seconds for you, but it's been a harrowing, as you can tell, harrowing few weeks for us. Yeah, we're now in December, and we recorded the front half of this episode. I think it was October. Yeah. Oh man.
Turned into fucking Total Recall, haven't we? You're waking up from a coma and you just have memories of all the podcasts. Yeah. Really. Yeah, but we are alive. We are still kicking. Mm. This can sound really weird compared to the previous half of the episode.
Yeah, the first half, where the first thing we say in that first half is we're back.
Sounded so vibrant, so alive back then.
Yeah.
But you know, guys, life is what life is, and you can't help it. Man, going into it, episode 26. Well, we did the pre-steam. Gone. Alex. I'm Steam Con, buddy.
So
judging by the tone of your voice, Steam Con is prematurely aged. Yeah.
So I've listened to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I love podcasts. One of the reasons we do this podcast, right? And one of the first things every other podcast says is, I'm not going to harp on about it because everyone else has harped on about it. And because everyone else has said that they're not going to harp on about it, I thought there's one of two ways I could go with this. I thought I could hop on that bandwagon and say, I'm not going to harp on about the bad things. Or I could say, well, everyone else seems to be saying that everyone else has done it, right? Things have to be addressed, right?
You'd be like that, like the Steam Forge Shuffle. And taking play. Just going like a bunch of people have gone, right, we're going to ream you for this, and they've just passed the book and gone, well, I can't, everyone talks about it, next up, well, everyone talks about it, on to the next.
So I feel like it's like that scene where a ball rolls off a pitch where all the kids are playing and a foot comes out and stops it, and we pan up, right, and it's me standing there with this ball going, right, because you didn't come to SteamCon.
No
they tried their hardest, right? The guys on, like, the boots on the ground, the Steamforge boots on the ground, were great. Because they always are. We know they always are, right? But this venue, man, there was no Wi-Fi, yeah? That, to the point where I was speaking to some of the guys. I spoke to Lance from the pitch.
Oh, okay.
And he was saying that, like, they didn't have Wi-Fi, so they couldn't take card payments at the stalls. Like, so that had to go and get... Someone had to go and, like, one of the Steamforge guys hotspotted their phone so these guys, so they could do it.
Like, that came from any of the games, but they've got someone repairing the telephone wire.
And it was just like...
Get out, guys, we can tip him.
And it was, to be honest, it was just a bit disappointing. Like, there was, there's a few of our local guys, there's a few guys from Leodis who... Right, a lot of people think that we have a much closer connection to Leodis than we do because we both wear purple. Like, as much as like we
people think we're bottom paid for.
Yeah. People, we love Leodis as a venue. We just don't get there as often as people seem to think we do.
Yeah.
So I've spent a lot of time hanging out with those guys because I don't really see them as often as I like to. And I felt kind of bad because a few of us had been bigging SteamCon up as like, can't wait to go. It's gonna be really good. Everyone's getting really excited about it. And then we turn up to this warehouse where there was some kind of like bare knuckle boxing on the Saturday night, which turned into a riot, which spilled out, and there was security.
Steam Forge Defence, I've had plenty of fun time in a warehouse.
It was.
I've heard about this, right? Yeah. It's like the perfect thing, right? You show up to like. Because in reality, you go, oh, Steam Corn, yeah, oh, fuck
get it all happening. But in reality, SteamCon is effectively a convention for a bunch of people, quite like a board game, essentially. So you turn up to a board game convention, essentially, or even a wargaming. It's not like wargaming, like half behind. Usually, you sit down, you have a quiet, have a coffee, and a quiet, nice wargame. You get there, right? Hey, man, I love this board game. Everyone's chilling out. You think it'd almost be library rules, wouldn't you? So, like, and you go, like, oh, and if someone turned to me and went, right, got the board game convention, what do you think would be the worst other convention to share the same space with the board game convention? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. Annual wrecking ball convention? I go, well, no, because they won't move the wrecking ball. They just look at them. Okay, I go, I wouldn't even think to have maybe like a, basically a licensed boxing match actively take place next door, like of a brutal series of brawls next door to a cheering drunken audience.
Yeah.
Who were willing to literally break out into a riot.
Point during the keynote where Matt was trying to speak and they just kept hammering dance music, whether it was like, I don't know if it was in like in the breaks between rounds, between fights, if there was multiple fights on or whatever, but like he'd be going, okay, so we've got some really cool stuff to show you, and they'd be like, sorry Matt, can you speak up, mate? But fucking hell, that venue. I mean, Steve Rogers already put a blog out. They've apologised for the venue. The venue was the venue was trash. But then there was also things that you know, that was Steamforged. You know, it's got to be said. There were things like on the flyer that came up with schedules on it and stuff. They put a blog post up with all the schedules. There was things like, I think there was meant to be a snake draft, a doubles tournament. There was like some fun kind of alt formats. And I don't know if I missed someone shouting through a microphone or something, but I don't think I ever heard that kick off, and that really enjoyed.
That was next door at the Jackham convention.
But yeah, it was just like, because it was all in one room, the entire convention was in one room. It felt like it could have done with being not sort of sectioned off, you know? Like, because there was a point where I was just having a casual game, and I turned round, and on the row of tables behind me, I saw Rich Keeler, I saw Beard Minis. And as I walked in on the Friday, we saw each other, and the nod, like sort of pat each other on the back, oh, I'll catch you later, we'll have a chat. I turned around, saw him there, and he was getting something out of his bag, so I just went, oh, you're all right, mate, yeah. And suddenly realised, oh no, he was actually in the British Championship qualifiers. I was just, brilliant, just interrupt that then. You know what I mean? Because there was no sort of, I don't know, I'm not saying that there should be separate rooms, but maybe something, just some sort of separation, some sort of divide, because then maybe that would encourage the casual area to have become more of this casual space where there was more of these other games going on. Like, and if I'd known that the doubles events wasn't being ran, you know, I may have actually taken it on myself to sort of go, right, come on, let's just...
It'd be great if you just actively walk international, like...
just accidentally just sit on the streaming table or something. But like, if something had gone out on Facebook the night before saying, right, I'm afraid that we can't run these special events because, you know, we haven't got enough stuff or whatever. Yeah, I've probably put my hand up and said, come, you know, that's what these conventions are about. Fun, like, games. Let's get it going. Because I just didn't realise it was happening. Because I'd heard the Americans talking about these great scrambles where you just sort of, you grab seven other people, you go up to the TO desk and you go, right, we're starting to scramble. And then you do a quick eight-man tournament. Like, what would that be? Three rounds? Yeah, three rounds.
Yeah.
So like, it's just a quick three round thing. How many three round things can you fit in a full day of gaming? You could smash out like three scrambles. You know, you could have had loads of fun, like micro competitive, oh, here's our meta, or let's mix up with our meta and some guys near us, you know. Yeah, it was just a bit disappointing. But I don't know whether that was because that, like, Bryce was at the TO desk and the man looked like he just wanted to run into a wall and become unconscious. There was one point where they couldn't get internet to get Longshanks up. Longshanks crashes because everyone's trying to check Longshanks, right? So they finally get it up. They finally get it working. He's like, "Yes, we finally get it up." And you can see the relief in his face. He stands up, puts the microphone to his mouth, and he goes, "Okay, LCQ players," and the mic cuts out. And he just looked like a broken man. And it's just like, one man cannot be held responsible for all of the so I don't know what conversation happened. I don't know whether there was meant to be someone else there or what. But yeah, that kind of annoyed me. And another thing that got me, right, this one is, I'm going to say this now. I know I have no right to be this annoyed about what happened. So you know the limited edition SteamCon cards where it's just like a car, it's exactly the same card but it's got like literally just different design on it. So they had all of them on this row of tables at the back, and so you played a game, you went up and you picked a card up. Like a good system, fair system. And as long as you're not one of these people who's just going to walk up and take one from every single box, you know, there's a couple of people there making sure no one did that. And so I went up and I went to take one of my cards, and I had a few, so obviously I'm rooting through to try and go to like what I need, whatever one, say it was Veteran Sakana, I'm moving cards around. I'm going, no, that's Corsair, no, that's Tentacles again, no, because they were bundled together with elastic bands. But after a couple of days of gaming, they'd started to fray a bit, or like they were coming out and there was a few that were just loose. And in doing so, I managed to ping off about three elastic bands. Cards went everywhere. I was just like, for God's sake, I'm such a dick. So I was picking them up. I was banding them all back together, popping them in nicely back in the box. And I think it was a volunteer, like one of the guys working there, just looked up, didn't ask me what was happening, didn't say anything. I have no right to be this annoyed. Just went, make sure you're only taking one card. And I was just like, I am. I'm tidying this up. I was so annoyed. I was like, beyond angry. And I was just like, what? But like I said, yeah. No, I think
you're happy where you're like going, oh no, I might have taken two.
Yeah.
Pressure card.
Yeah, like I was just like, I'm not. But yeah, but apart from that, I mean, I just hope better things for next year, which it should be, because, you know.
Well, you can't be angry at him. Very next door, the under-8 Blinker Tag tournament of the world is taking place. And they love cards. You're not up again if you're not sure.
Yeah, that's it. You got to watch it. And then on the Sunday, obviously, we had the annual drummers conference. It started kicking off on Sunday, which was after the what actually happened of a car boot sale, which meant you couldn't get into the venue because there's too many cars trying to get in.
What, in the car park for the... Where?
So you just get
your... Oh, fuck you.
The queue for cars was ridiculous. So we parked like a couple of roads over and walked in. And as we got in, some guy tried to charge us entry. And we were like, no. I'm not coming to your car boot sale. I've got a fucking lanyard on with SteamCon on it. What do you think I'm doing?
I'm fucking walking into the car. I'm not paying for this shit. Whoa, what have we got over there? All right, yeah. That'd be great when they're like, yeah, come for SteamCon. Here's the car boot.
But yeah, oh, and then there was...
Those bargains are ridiculous.
There was the Saturday morning where the heater... I know, it's a nightmare. I'm a bit ill, dear listeners. But the heaters were like these massive gas heaters, just blasting out like gas, and there was a pilot light. So it was basically like a giant hairdryer, right? And on Saturday morning, apparently one of the pilot lights just wasn't turned on. It was just pumping gas into this room. It was
on the intercom, just going, due to the World War I reenactment society that happened to be next door, actual mustard gas had been released into the...
It was, honestly, it was like Fawlty Towers. It was, everything was wrong. Everything was wrong. It was, but yeah, they've said they're not going to use the venue. But yeah, looking forward to the next team call.
Fair, right. If it actually been there, been kind of the kind of shit I would have loved, I'd have happily been like going, yeah, that's great and all. Like, I really love my fucking match. Pocket, pretty good view from here, actually.
You'd have gone instead of watching the keynote, wouldn't you?
I've got this fucking amateur.
What? How much? Put me in.
Just there going like, yeah, your turn. Yeah, shut up. Fucking that left. Don't fucking talking. Go north. That'd be great. Yeah, right. 4-1 defense. Can't give me a minute. Fucking Aaron!
Running back out, spitting out your mouth guard, like trying to tear off some gloves to move a model.
We'll give 50 quid to anyone who will get it, ring and play amateur right now. Fucking hell. Yeah, how do to the homeless nerd. Oh man. To be fair, I thought it sounded like the perfect event.
That's it though, because when I was talking to you about it, everything was great, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I was really enjoying myself. Like, any time there was a problem, it was because of the venue. So next year they're not using that venue.
I think that's the thing. Did you, at the end of the day, do you have a good? The question is, would you rather have gone, not gone?
Obviously, rather have gone.
There you go. There you go. Job well done, I think. Like, again, it's unfortunate, but hilarious nonetheless. I love shit like that. I think it, I kind of like the shit life around here. I mean, it's unfortunate for the people who are there who are trying to sort the whole thing out. But for me, the idea of just seeing the look on someone's face going, oh, fuck. Oh god, that's like life in its purest form. Fucking love shit like that. Just like, it's precisely the kind of thing, though. It makes like the perfect memory.
Yeah.
You just show up to a fucking board game convention, basically. There's a fucking flying fox. In the fucking ring.
Yeah, which spilled out into a basically a riot in the car park, which, you know, I'll remember that. I'll take that with me. I'll tell my nieces and nephews about that. You know, but oh man,
good time.
So like, I played in the LCQ, right? And well, what's gonna be quite exciting is what we should have done is listen to the first half of this episode before recording.
Oh yeah.
And we haven't. So I can't remember whether I said I was gonna play in the LCQ or not, because I know I was quite torn beforehand. Because obviously I was on a bit of a downer with everything, and Guild Ball had taken a hit as that. You know, I hadn't been playing much, hadn't been jazzed for it. You know, I'd gone through this entire season 4 hype, but then just sort of that's disappeared into a puff of smoke rather than carry forward. So I turned up on the morning and I was like excited to play some Guild Ball. I was looking forward to it. I had every guild we have between us in the car. And I was like, right, I'm just going to play mix-ups, going to play a bit of anything. And then someone came over after registering in the LCQ, and they had this really shiny metal coin. And so obviously I had to go register in the LCQ because I wanted to have one of those. So I ended up registering to play with my fish because the navigators weren't there. And I fell in love with the fish again. Like, I played 4 games, lost 3 of them, deserved to lose them because I still had my navigator head on. Like, I'd been playing everything but fish, and then I suddenly went back to the fish and I was like, oh yeah, how did these work again? My first game was amazing. I played James Reeves. I think I've seen him around before. I don't think we've actually played before. And he played Scatha Hunters. And it was like first thing Friday morning, and he just hands me his hip flask before the game starts. I'm like, excellent, okay. So have a nip of rum before we start going. We scored 2 goals each in turn 1. It was insanity. And then it was just try and get the ball for the last one. It ended like 2 activations into turn 2 where he managed to get the ball and get the goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was 2 goals each turn 1. It was always going to come down to the roll for like who had what card for going into turn 2.
Yeah, when Scatha gets to go early, the fact she can basically effectively guarantee tackle, like by double dodge in any attack.
Yeah.
Legendary or whatever, yeah, I get my attack. Also double dodge on fuck all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to, I think, even for the vision, hard to deal with.
Yeah, it was, looking back on it now, because I've started getting back into them, I think Corsair's the drop. I think Corsair's the drop, but yeah, I just really enjoyed the game, and that sort of ping pong, fast paced football game, it just sort of lit a fire under my ass, and I just, that game just got me back into Guild Ball, because where I'd been sort of dancing around the edges going, oh, because on the way over there, like, I went over in the car with Spuddy and Dave Millington, and they're like, we were all chatting about it, and there was quite a while of it. I was just sitting there going, you know what, I really fucking hope I have a good time this weekend. I was like, I hope I come back wanting to play more Guild Ball. and it was amazing that the first game, like turn 1, turn 2, I was just like, fuck yeah, this is what I love, this is why I play this game. It got everything. Like, the turn 2, the who goes first on turn 2 being so pivotal in that moment did make me think, is there anything I'd change about the game plan deck? Like, how it kind of felt that, like, obviously how we played in turn 1 was a huge factor.
Yeah.
You know, because that made the game state that it was going into the turn 2 initiative phase. But it was almost, that game was basically won on who had better cards going into turn 2.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, how could you fix that? Because I was thinking, and one thing I've heard someone say, I can't remember, I think it might have been Jace Fox actually, from Rookie. He'd said, someone certainly suggested, you should be able to mulligan.
Yeah.
So like, if you've got the cards in your hand and you're like, I don't like the look of any of these, there's obviously the 4 cards to one side that have been, that weren't dealt to either of you.
Yeah.
Maybe you should be allowed to, you should then say, I'm going to mulligan, do you want to mulligan? And if your opponent says yes, you just shuffle the entire thing and deal 7 back out to each of you. And if no, you just shuffle your hand into the discard pile. But then the problem with that is, you then know what they...
The core problem of that fundamentally is when you want to reshuffle, think you haven't got the Kevin.
Yeah.
And if you haven't got the Kevin, very likely your opponent has won, or probably both. And if you turn around and go, I want a mulligan, how about you? And they go, no, how about that?
Yeah.
Goes, well, I guess you keep Kevin, and I'm back to go fuck myself territory.
But then it's interesting that you thought it was kind of a disadvantage there, because they know... See, what I was thinking is that you've got an advantage because you've seen every card that they haven't got. So by elimination, you know what they've got.
I don't think the cards are so powerful that knowing what they've got fundamentally changes. 9 times out of 10, I can guess what what you've got, different what I've got in my hand. How many times have we started a game and gone, guess you've got both, Kevin? The time when we both laid out what we've got on the table and gone, yeah, I've got this, I'm kind of thinking, you know, I've gone, fucking hell, grudge match in there, it changes my entire thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know if I'm going to play it or not. You know I've got Kevin. I know if you've got Kevin, I can almost, like, change the time when I play it.
Yeah.
I think the Kevin factor is the only one that really gives me shit, and that's the only one that's you into, I'm guaranteed.
Yeah. What I used to do when we first had it, when the game plan deck first came out, is I basically kept the five highest cards, but the five highest initiative cards. But what I've started doing recently, and I'm getting a lot more work out of them now, is if I've got two sevens, you're damn right I'm keeping both sevens.
Yeah.
If I've got I'll pick two, maybe three, to just be the highest card I've got. You know, the sevens or the sixes, or the sixes and the five, and then the other sort of two or three, I will take because of what their card is, or if I can get a plus influence. Yeah. So then that's one where I look across and I go, okay, you've got 10 momentum, I've got 2, well, I might as well burn this plus 2 card and get plus 1 influence the next turn, you know?
I generally, when I get both Kevin, I usually just keep Kevin. It's enough for me that I know they don't have
it. Yeah.
So that card there, plan out when I'm quite more, okay, I'm either in a huge momentum that case, I'm going to blow a lower card that I can better affect, or I need the Kevin just to push me over.
Yeah.
The Kevin card, I almost never play if I've either got an actual momentum or I know, if I can't win Kevin, guarantee, I'm never done.
Lone Striker, I find really hurts me. Because obviously I'm trying to play football, so that suggests that my first activation is 9 times out of 10 going to be go, momentum, score goal please.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be go, steal ball, score goal please. So the idea of taking one tack off a striker, and they usually have like 4 tack.
Yeah.
You know, they're usually pretty low, so it kind of obviously punishes you for going first. You know?
Yeah.
And seize the initiative. The way round it is where the person who gets initiative makes the first 4-inch dodge. It's like, I find it hurts you as much as it helps you, because you can, if you've got the ball, you can dodge someone to try and get closer to the goal, or dodge someone into a position where they can charge in, bounce off someone, and then they can react to that going, okay, well, the person you're going to springboard off, he's not there anymore, your plan's scuppered, or the person that Corsair's been eyeing up, he's gone. You know, it's rare that you, I don't know, I don't think that a good four inch dodge for me is always worth giving you a good 4-inch dodge.
Yeah.
I'm starting to find more and more that I play that I don't like the sevens.
Well, okay, you're playing the first set advantage. Yeah. My two solutions are an expansion to the card, add a few more cards, add a couple more Kevin. I don't expect the effect to be anywhere in power, but a few more Kevin make a statistic like that, at least you both could end up a Kevin. The other is almost like the shared plan, where instead of like you both have matching decks, but you both have Kevin.
Yeah.
But you can guarantee Kevin. But like me, I'm not about having. So even if I got to pick my card, go, okay, this is my hunter, this is my hunter hand.
Yeah.
Bang, and you're always picking Kevin, fine. Think that without having, print more cards.
Yeah. That'd be interesting, because in the big league, there's guild linked plot cards.
Yeah.
So it'd be cool if we could see guild linked game plan decks almost.
Yeah, I remember really liking the guild identity when playing. I liked the idea of.
I really enjoyed them.
Having teams select. It's just like a balance that turned out. Time.
Mm.
And the problem they have is, again, picking a team resistant to min max, but in the guild identity, almost invariable power.
Yeah.
It's really hard to like actually nail down, like going, oh, it wasn't that much of a choice. Going, oh, it's my identity. Like, oh, yeah, that particular. It's obviously more powerful than the rest. I think one of the butchers ones that they decided, fucking, it was like you have to blow 2 MP for a counter attack.
Yeah.
And it was like, good. Yeah, that's obviously the best one. Yeah, every time, because that's like the biggest thing. It's hard on Earth, actually, balance. But that would be my two solutions. Make a small expansion to add a few more higher cards to make that more even. Or, you get 2 of the same deck and you pick what you want. Or even you just shuffle and deal it the normal way, but you have your own deck each.
Yeah.
So that way you both guarantee to get, you've got as much an even chance of getting 7 then. And more importantly, it kind of has a bit more of a unknown factor to the game as well. Okay, there aren't that many cards that once I've looked at my hand, I can't immediately go, hey, you've got that.
Yeah.
You've got, if I don't have Kevin to my hand, statistically, you're going to have one or both.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll send it to a right card.
Yeah.
Back to Guild Ball.
Yeah. We're back into it, aren't we? Like, it's a nice little, we do like this game, don't we? And so what I was saying there also was that I think after playing Shark into Scatha, I definitely think Corsair's the drop into Hunters. Mainly because as soon as I walked away from that game, I remember thinking, shit, if he dropped Theron and I'd played Shark, I'd have been pinned all game.
Because
that's what the Fish Hunters is our derby. That's the match we played more than any other match.
Yeah.
And your love for Theron is almost one of the reasons it drove me to Corsair.
Yeah.
You know? So the fact that I walked up this table not knowing which captain it was going to be and dropped Shark, I think that was a huge gamble that I'm pretty lucky paid off.
Everyone's sucking on the Scaffa teat at the minute, aren't they? They can't fucking. Everyone loves that easy option, don't they?
The thing is, one thing I did find is that it's what you've said, and one of the reasons that you won't play Scatha apart from the fact that you just stop breaking.
Is
that you said the problem with one of the things she does is she places fast ground. She doesn't place a hunter-based thingy that means hunters going over here get +2/+2 move.
Yeah.
She plays fast ground, and where she wants it is where places where most of her models can get it, which means it's towards the middle of the pitch, which means all of my models can hit it as well.
Oh, yeah,
and with the fish, all my guys have faster movement anyway. So both of our all four of our goals involve that fast ground.
Yeah.
So if it had meant that maybe if it had been rough ground for me, fast ground for him, or even neutral for me,
yeah,
then I would have seen it as a benefit. But the way I see it is that that token got me 8 VP. You know? That 3-inch AOE got me 8 VP. Yeah, it got him 8 as well. But like I said, if it had gone the other way going into turn 2, odds are I think basically it came down to whoever got turn 2 won.
Yeah.
So I think that in that alternate universe where I got turn 2, that would have got me the win.
Oh yeah.
You know, Scatha placing fast ground would have won me the game. Interesting. I still want to try her because I like football and she seems to have, and like her sort of football gang seem more viable.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I'd like to try that a bit. But then I played Morticians. I played Sammy, and I just hate going into Morticians. I think they're my new boogeyman.
Yeah.
Like Blacksmiths, I think I've started to crack, like I can crack that nut, you know. It's not one of the things where I sit down and the other person goes, oh hi, I'm on this table as well, and then puts down their tray and I see Blacksmiths. I don't get a one-way ticket to Tilt Town like I used to. Like now it's when I see Morticians, I just go, I just don't know what to do. So I'm just going to have to get some more reps against Morticians.
I'm kind of a problem with Morticians that you never feel like you put them in defensive.
The obvious player never turns around and gone, fuck, what do I do from here? Always like going, I know what I do. Legendary, my turn, fuck yourself. You're forcibly making terrible decisions with your momentum just to deny it to them.
Yeah.
And like, guess I'll heal 2 HP. Quickly before he steals it. It's like, yeah, okay. Fucking hell. Hate that shit.
But I just need to get more reps in with them. And one of the guys relatively close to us, I think, is hopping on Mortician, who's a really good player. And that's going to be an absolute nightmare. I know it's going to be a series of like 15 to 20 games where I'm going to hate every single second of it. But I know that I'm going to get more comfortable into that matchup by arranging games with him. So.
Yeah, the more you play against the team, the better you will get.
Yeah.
And I imagine there are some people out there who do feel okay into Mortician, but fucking hell,
I certainly don't.
Coming up to your win though.
Yeah, my only win when I went 1-3. It was Tapper Brewers. I won 12-2. It was a really nice, fun game. Like we enjoyed it. But I just sort of took goals kind of when I wanted them.
Yeah.
Because the low defense on the Brewers, and it was a list where there was a lot of 1-inch melee. I just completely abused it. Yeah. That's where that win came from. And then my last game of the day, where I kind of almost passed out during this game because I was getting, as the day got on, I was feeling worse and worse and worse. And then this game, I remember I sat down and said to him, I'm going to apologise, I think this game's going to be really bad because I feel like I've had 6 pints of Guinness. I felt so rough. And then
poisoned rum coming from earlier.
Yeah. It was delayed too much. He meant it to kick in turn 2. I played Mike Dunlop, and it was just a really fun game. Just a really nice guy. He gave me a dice from the UAE.
Really?
Yeah, we had a really nice time. My God. He kept just going, do you want to stop? And I was like, no, I can do it. I'd need to go home. So he won 12-8. And then I went down to McDonald's and I felt much better.
Very good. Life never plays out like that. Fun episode of It Got Sunny like you wanted to. Kind of like going, about the implied laughter, you're kind of going like, man, this is weird and awkward.
Yeah. So like, I just sort of said that I felt quite sorry for him because that entire time he must have just been going, let's just go just throw the towel in so I can go play a good game. But like my stubbornness to not drop from an event just kept me in there. And then it was like the evening of SteamCon, which was really good. We went and got something to eat and then we came back, played casual games. I played a game against Barry from Roll Better. It was like a marathon of a game. It ended up being like 2.5 hours or so. It was really long. And there was a point where Dave came over and he went, I've been gone over an hour and the score hasn't changed. Because I was bouncing navigators into the blacksmiths because it wasn't, with it being a casual game, I dropped in my proxy models. Yeah, really good. Just
changing it off.
just mixing it up. But yeah, so then there was just more of that. I just played a load more casual games. Like, because I can't get down to Leodis a lot, I was going to drop from the league that they're running. But because so many of them that were there, they were like, why don't you just play all of us now and have all your games booked up until February instead of, like, yeah. I was like, yeah. So I just, I drove for like an hour and 45 minutes to play a bunch of guys from Leeds. But yeah, important take home is that I came out of it really, really enjoying the game again.
Reinvigorated.
Yeah, reinvigorated. Ready for season four, man. Yeah. Even though we're up to our knees in season four now, and I've finally just realised I'm ready for it.
We'd be fucked if I were the problem with you, Gavin.
Yeah. Well, it's like you said, the problem we had and the reason we stopped playing games so much is that I just wasn't feeling great. And instead of you going, come on, let's get a game in, you sort of just went...
I don't like that idea that the only reason someone's doing something is for my benefit.
Yeah.
So if I could turn up and go, come on, dude, let's play a game, fuck yeah, yeah, go ball. And you're like going, oh, I don't really want to play, like going, that feeling of like going, yeah, the only reason I'm actually doing this is because you're right here, right now, doing this. I'm like going, oh, I don't want to be that guy.
I know it's been a bit of a wet, like, happy clappy, lovey dovey episode, but yeah, just basically really, really glad I'm back on the train.
Yeah.
I'm back on the fish train as well. I really enjoy playing Navigate, but I just feel like with the fish I've got more options competitively.
Yeah.
Which you seem very happy that I'm saying that.
I'm
still gonna be playing Navigators at home.
I control the fish a lot better.
Yeah.
For me the fish are a lot more honest, not bullshit, not cheating.
I heard a great one. Someone called you playing the Navigators and getting your rerollers as stabilizers. Yeah. So it's going, okay, that's three hits and rerolls. You mean your stabilizers? There you go. Okay, six hits. I got what I wanted.
Yeah, the fishermen are a lot more normalized. The problem is I haven't made my opinion on them well known enough.
No, that's it. I think maybe if we set aside some time so you could just say what you feel about the Navigators.
I truly feel.
Yeah.
If only we'd interviewed. Got an interview coming up with some kind of guy.
Yeah, for to celebrate the Navs coming out and the fact that I've been on the Navs train. Well, the Navs boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been on the Navs boat. I got lost, got found, got lost, got found, got lost, got found again. And I'm turning up at port like to celebrate the Navs. Like, what is it, 26 months late or something like that? Really jazzed for them. So we're kind of celebrating them with a bit of a special coming up.
Yeah, we... It's weird to say, but we must be one of the more definitive voices on Navigator. We've basically been playing them well before... We're playing them before they went to come out.
So how you've just sort of gone, we're kind of the authority on Navigator. I wouldn't call us gods.
I wouldn't use the term authority. I leave that to, you know, philosophers. Not.
All we're suggesting is that when people look back in the history books, we will be known as the historians of the Navigator's Guild.
What douchey term for you? I'm not saying we're the head of the Navigator's Guild or like that. I'd say thought leader or influence. No, it's weird turning up because, like, when we went to a few tournaments to Navigator, it's weird looking at people playing the first games against them. And you go, oh shit, they're not even out of there. I'm, like, on my 25th game against them. And so I've come over the hoop now. I've gone from, like, way new guild, fuck this guild, and I'm bored. By the time you get the box, like going, oh, these bastards, like, I showed up over here. And by the time
is that what he looks like?
By the time you actually get the box, like going, put that old shit away and fucking...
Here's the cooks.
Yeah, go, put that old new, put them away. Get a new girl like the alchemist on the board. That's the thing when people go like, oh yeah, new Navigator's coming out. Like, yeah, great. And we're going like, fucking hell, I've played more games than Navigator to have a majority of the guild. It's weird to be like going like, oh yeah, new guild. Like, oh, okay, yeah, shit. 30 fucking games in. Like, I might have played more games against the Navigator if I've played tournament games.
Yeah, you definitely have.
Yeah. It's just, I don't think it's like particularly douchey to go, oh man, yeah. In fact, yeah, we know the Navigator a bit now before they're even fucking out.
Yeah.
We've been playing them fucking much.
I cannot wait to see what happens when they get released into the wild. I cannot wait.
I cannot wait for Vindicate. Like, how confident I'm just hard stamping it. See. I don't care if I look like a fucking idiot, like, in a month's time where people are going, no, we've had a look at them, really. If someone comes up with some tech that just destroys them to the point where they need to get buffed, I'll eat my word, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm willing to take that risk.
I feel like you're sitting there just going, yeah, I know. And like the people who've been going, you need to shut up about Navigate, stop complaining, you're so salty, I hate how much you complain about things. And I feel like you've been sitting there going, you wait.
We've gone into the wild with the Navigator, I've been vindicated literally every single time. Like, in real time, the room had just fucking turned on you.
Yeah.
Gone from like going, oh new guild, yeah, Queen Fuck. To what the fuck? You can get away with what?
Yeah.
What do you people literally head in hand going, what do you mean? Why ain't that possible? And I'm going like, yeah.
And you're so excited. Yeah. Okay, I can just see you're so excited because you're gonna be like, this next month, everyone is just gonna be agreeing. They're gonna come crawling back. Ryan, we were sorry. You were so right, Ryan.
So no one's gonna care that. But what they are gonna care is like going, ooh, Dean, I think they'll be trying to couch in like a bit of a negative play experience. Ooh, Ebb a bit much. Maybe Horizon could use a bit. But all I'll be hearing is you were fucking right the entire time.
So to celebrate that and all the lovely, wonderful play experiences, we've got a bit of a chat with Bryce and a bit of a chat with Dan Harwood. You know, the two guys who kind of know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I chew leaf out. Don't you worry, lad. I'm. You can view it as an interview with Bryce. I view it as a trial. Innocent? I'm sorry. They're not innocent. You can't be proved innocent. Not guilty or guilty. And Bryce doesn't admit it, but I've already assumed guilty.
That's before the trial begins.
Yeah. The burden of proof in Cold Bryce. And whether he meets it, ladies and gentlemen, it's up to you in the next episode.
So that'll be coming out soon. So, and actually soon as well. So yeah. Like this week.
We are back on the... Fuck, we get the clap time. But we are back for real this time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Shall we leave it off on that?
Yeah, let's do a sign. We haven't done any nonsense SG-1 references that people tell us that how much they hate.
Did anyone have any hate for the SG-1 outro?
No, I know we definitely...
I thought that'd really appeal to normal people.
No, hang on. Someone did actually give me one comment on the outro when I was at SteamCon.
Yeah.
So I think this is it. That's it. We're back. That was SteamCon. We're both really looking forward to going into season 4, playing more. And Ed Churchman, go fuck yourself.
Wow, well, fucking that's a bit unpolite, isn't it? Give him a real one. Ed Churchman, go fuck yourself, buddy! Oh, God.
The thing is, though, even though I know that anyone who's come back to us has said, oh, yeah, we like it, the fact that we're sort of being addressed as though, you know, it's a friendly, casual, friendly environment, I still feel the need to put a disclaimer in going, we don't actually want to go. So, no, we do. I don't want you to feel any negative feelings from that comment.
I purposely want you to feel negative feelings.
It is said as one friend to another.
I'm trying to hurt you. Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Peace out.